646. 646. Lead on, O King Eternal. And the old children saying, lead on, O King Eternal, that's not right.
The sun will set and I'll be gone. but until then, I'll be thinking about home. He said, I'm thinking about home, thinking about going home. I'm dreaming about leaving here, ready to be. Sun will set and I'll be gone, but until then I'll be thinking about home. It won't be long before the sun will set and I'll be gone, but until then I'll be thinking about home.
Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, if you would. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Brother Ralph prayed that God would bless as I preach from Matthew. Well, I just have to substitute 1 Thessalonians for his request. But in line with what we're doing here today, celebrating our 39th church anniversary, I want to read from the first epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Thessalonians. That's what it says in my King James Bible. I don't know about yours. What does yours say, right? The first epistle of Paul the Apostle to the what? Thessalonians. That's the city of Thessalonica where Paul visited. And he had the vision to go into Mesopotamia. Someone in Troas was saying, come on over and help us. They went over and then eventually he made his way to Thessalonica. And he started a church there. And people got saved, preached the good news. And they became quite a model church. And I would like to say, if we could be anywhere close to them, that would be good. That would be good. I'm going to read the first chapter, and then I'm going to, toward the end, read from chapter 5, and starting at verse 11 through the end of the book. I'm not going to do the whole book, obviously, but I do want to do the first chapter. Kind of tells you what kind of a church they were, and how God worked in their lives. And then the last part in chapter 5, verse 11 through the end, Paul's exhortation to what they should do now. And so why am I doing this? Because we need to be like the church of Thessalonica. What has the Lord done for us? And what do we need to do now? We can thank the Lord 39 years. 39. And next year we're going to be 40. So we can really celebrate that one. I don't know what we'll do. Maybe we'll have a circus or something. I don't know. But it's kind of hard to know what to do in February, especially with the weather and everything. In fact, I didn't even do this until the last minute. And then I wasn't sure that we'd get through it or not. And sure enough, aren't we having a storm tonight? You know, so it's, you know, we beat them this time. All right, we beat them. We're going to get it in this morning. But 39 years, folks, the Lord has been doing a work through Race Street Baptist Church. How many more years do we have left? Could there be another 39? And if so, what should we be doing? All right. Verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, if you don't have King James Bible, guess what's missing? The whole section after the word peace. From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what, folks? There's a problem, isn't there? There's a big problem in the Bible version issue. And we need to take a stand. Verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayer. Excuse me. remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Here's some characteristics of the church. Without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know, what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. I'll tell you something, that whole chapter is just filled with doctrinal themes that we could just preach and preach and preach on. But there are just some things I want to point out to you. Paul here in verse 2 says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. The church of Thessalonica and the believers there were of such a character that Paul thought of them dearly as dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, for whom he could not help but talk to the Lord about. May we be like that. And I hope, you know, we just got this new prayer list going here, and I hope that that is something that you use. Don't just take the piece of paper and end up throwing it away and wondering, oh boy, I didn't even use that. Take a look at it. Let's pray for one another. Let's make mention of ourselves, each other, in our prayers. And then, verse 3, he goes on saying, remembering. Because he remembers them in his prayers, and he's giving thanks to God because he's remembering without ceasing their work of faith. Folks, we need to be involved in the work of the Lord. All right? Now, I know you're living in a world where you got to make a living. You got to go to work. You got to spend a good amount of hours at just surviving. I know that. I do it too. You're looking at a pastor who has worked in the secular field for 39 years. There were a few years that we were full-time, but we couldn't keep doing that after a while. We had to get back going to work and make a living. I know what it means, and I know how difficult it is. But you know what, folks? The Lord Jesus Christ needs to be the first thing on the tip of our tongues, on the top of our minds. We need to be daily doing a work of faith. That which we believe in needs to change everything we do and affect and influence everything we do. Work of faith. Labor of love. You know, we need to really love folks and love each other in the Lord and love the lost. Love the lost world. Not love them because of what they do or love what they do, but love them for who they are. Sinners for whom my Christ, my Savior, died on the cross for them. Labor of love and patience of hope. I hear you all the time, every one of you, very often say, you know, I'm tired of this old world. I'm looking forward to heaven. And so am I, so are you. Jason's song there, you know, A Penny for Your Thoughts, old man on the park bench. All he could talk about was going home. And you might think at first he was just talking about his house here on earth, but oh no, he was talking about a better place, a house made by his Savior. and a mansion up there in heaven. And that's the patience of hope. We keep on keeping on. Why'd you keep on going for 39 years? Didn't you ever think of stopping? Oh, yeah. I don't know. I say this facetiously, but every Monday I quit the ministry. Just about every Monday I quit the ministry. After Sunday's over, and I see all you folks coming in and going out. Some of you are real faithful, some are not faithful. And on Monday morning, I say, I don't know why I even bother. You know, and so I quit on Monday. And after my wife kicks me around a few times, I'm back in the ministry on Tuesday. All right, and we're ready to go again next Sunday. And we've been doing that for 39 years. And I only mean that in a funny way. I don't really mean that, but you know what? 39 years, going on 40. Why? Patience of hope. I know what the Bible says the future holds. I have great expectations. Didn't somebody write a book like that? Great expectations. I have great expectations. I'm looking for the Lord to come back. And the thing about the Thessalonian epistle is every single chapter always ends with an exhortation about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not the second coming, but the rapture coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for the church. It's patience of hope. And going down, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Isn't it something to know that even before the foundation of the world, God already knew me and knew what I would do. And he knew what I would do for 9 years before my 10th birthday, after which I then trusted the Lord as my personal Savior. Some of you took a little longer to get saved, and he knew how many years you'd go in rejection and not listening, not responding. Then one day, you did respond. I don't believe God up in heaven sits there and says, oh, I never thought Gary Freeman would get saved. No, he knew. He knew. But you know, it was something I had to do. I had to personally trust Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. But make no mistake about it. God knows all about it, the beginning and the end. And knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God for our... And notice how he connects the election of God with the gospel he preached. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Wow. There's a lot of things in there. By the way, your election of God is not dependent upon what church you belong to, or the fact that your parents were members of a church, or that you consider yourself to be Christian. You know, I hear the news talk about other countries, and they'll say the Christian population of this country and that, and very often that has nothing to do with real, true biblical Christianity, but traditional Christianity. That's about all it has to do with. Your election isn't based on that. Your election's based on this. Our gospel, which came unto you, not in word only. Now, Paul did in word give them the gospel, okay? And you have to use words in order to present the gospel. But I'm going to tell you something. If the walk and the manner of living of the one who's speaking the word of the gospel doesn't match, doesn't matter how your words are, it's not going to cause people to become the elect of God. It's got to be backed up with a life that's lived. And Paul is saying this to the Thessalonians because he knows when they received the word that he preached to them, their lives changed and backed up what the gospel that they preached said should happen when someone comes to know the Lord. Not in word only, but also in power. The power of the gospel is in the message and then through the Holy Ghost convicting men through that word. Notice he says, and in the Holy Ghost. 39 years of ministry. I'm sure there's a good amount of that time was done in the flesh. But what was done in the power of the Holy Ghost has lasted right on through those years. And I look at the people that are sitting here today, and you know what? I see a lot of empty seats, or I see people sitting in seats where other people used to sit. And I say to myself, and don't think I'm just going to talk about those who leave us for bad reasons. I'm talking about the influence that this church for 39 years has had on many people who are no longer here, but by whatever God's purposes in their lives, they've moved on, moved out. We hear back from them words like, we've never been able to find a church like Race Street Baptist Church. You know, you hear those kind of reports. Or we found a church that's just like one back home. And you're glad to hear that they found something good. And they're others are in ministries, teaching in schools, missionaries. Others are thinking about becoming pastors through the influence of the church. And so, folks, as you sit here and you say, yes, I've been here for a long time, I don't know how much we've really accomplished for the Lord. We've accomplished a lot, I think. There's been a lot of people touched and influenced by the ministry of Race Street Baptist Church. Just like Paul says, we came into your midst, and it wasn't us, it was the gospel, it was the power, it was the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance also. Boy, I'm so glad that this gospel message that we have to preach goes beyond 39 years. It doesn't stop if tomorrow we close the church and ministry. You know, if tomorrow Pastor Freeman says, I just had it, I can't go any further, you know, we're done. You all find another place to go to church. It doesn't end the gospel and what's happened in your lives. That'll never end. Much assurance. So those who don't believe in eternal security, I give you that verse, okay? In much assurance, not some assurance, much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And then he says, he became followers of us and of the Lord. I'm glad he added that, and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. You know what it cost them to turn their backs on their heritage, religious heritage, and to follow these strange men who came to their town with a gospel they never heard before, about a person they never heard before, Jesus Christ, and about a work that Jesus Christ did unheard of in any other religious background. Can't be compared at all to anything known to man up to that time. That God would send his son to pay the price for my sin. Never heard anything like that before. And with much affliction they received it. But I like the next phrase. And with joy of the Holy Ghost. Joy of the Holy Ghost. Our memory verse talks about, hitherto have ye asked me nothing, but now ask, ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. I like the gospel I have believed in, and the God I believed in, his son that I have believed in, because you know what he gives? He gives joy. He gives joy in place of ashes and heaviness. And I'm glad for that. I don't know about you, but I'm happy in Jesus. I'm happy in him. So then he says, you became examples to everybody. It got sounded out everywhere, every place. Your faith to God word is spread abroad so that we don't even have to say anything. How about that? Paul comes into another town. And you know what? The word is already spread around. Hey, are you the guys that started that movement up there in Thessalonica? We've heard that many people have stopped worshiping idols. They don't go to the temple. They don't mess around with the Vestal virgins that are available there for them to worship God anymore. But now they're faithful to their wives, which which, notice chapter 4. I believe this comes in here, verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. I think that has reference to your wife, to your spouse. Not in a lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. You know, this was a big problem. And these people turned from that. When in much affliction they turned from that, that their joy might be full, in order that they might receive the word that these men, Paul, Silvanus, Timotheus, gave to them when they came to town. All right, now, and they said, so that we need not to speak anything. You know what is really good? When you begin to witness to someone who's been watching another Christian. And I mean another good Christian. When they've been watching another good example, it makes it a lot easier to give them the gospel message if they've already seen somebody living the gospel. And so I want to encourage you, Ray Street Baptist Church, we need to be living the gospel. Live it. Live it out. Our thing in the morning about the music and everything, that's just one aspect of it. I think a big aspect of it, though, of our lives, is the kind of music. We need to let the world know, look, no. Our church, no. We're going to have godly music, sacred music, music that brings honor and glory to the Lord. We're not going to bring the world's music in here. No, we need to be a good example. It's so good when people say, you know why I like your church? You got good music there. I like to hear that. And you know what our music is? It's just good old-fashioned. Good old-fashioned. Like Vance Havner said, we need to get out of the novelty shop and into the antique shop. I don't know if any of you know Vance Havner. He was an old fundamental evangelist. I mean, he'd run back and forth on the platform. He'd jump up and down and stuff. He was a real old-fashioned, backwoods kind of preacher, and that's the kind of sayings he would say. We need to get out of the novelty shop, looking for something new to present to the world. No, and get into the antique shop. Let's just give them the good old-fashioned gospel. Give them the good old-fashioned music. Get into the antique shop. And by the way, whatever's in the well comes up in the bucket, right? those are the kind of things he'd say. In a message, you'd hear about 20 or 30 of those things. And they're always good. And you know what? These people left the old and came to Christ. And it says they turned from idols to serve the living true God. We got evangelicals today who want to preach to people and never warn them about the idols that they're worshiping. They just don't ever want to warn them. And tell them that, look, bowing down to a statue of a supposedly Mary is blasphemy. Having images of the saints all throughout the church and genuflecting in front of them and asking for them to be blessing you and things like that, that's paganism. Paganism with Christian names on it. Need to turn from it and serve the living. He's a living God. He's not a piece of wood with gold on it that men make. I always get, when I read Isaiah, sometimes while I'm reading, I'm laughing. Oh, I'd like to have an Isaiah around today. He says, hey, this is what people do. They get a piece of wood, they cut it in half. With the one half, they start a fire with it to warm themselves. The other half, they make a god. You have to laugh at that. How silly is that? And they actually bow down and worship the other piece while they burn the other one to warm their hands with. Oh, it's just so, doesn't make any sense. You Thessalonians, turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his son from heaven. And we've told you he's coming again. And then not only that, whom he raised from the dead, See how important the doctrine of the resurrection is to the gospel presentation, whom he raised from the dead. That's very important. If we don't have that, we have nothing. Even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. That's why I believe in pre-tribulational rapture of the church. He's going to deliver us from the wrath to come. Right there. Right there. All right, that's doctrine. Now, what should we do? Go to the end. Chapter 5, verse 11. Well, you know, in between there is a lot of things that he talked about. He even talked about the rapture in chapter 4. In chapter 5, he's still talking about the rapture and the second coming of the Lord and everything, and how we've not been appointed to wrath. And in verse 11, wherefore? Because of all this, wherefore? Comfort yourselves together. Edify one another. Even as also you do. All right, 39 years into Race Street Baptist Church. Probably, I just open up my heart to you here this morning. Probably the thing, if I want to say the word that bothers me the most, is to see the unfaithfulness of the children of God to the assembling together as they ought to. It's been a big problem throughout 39 years. Very often it happens this way. When very few people are in attendance, that's just when the devil says, go visit Ray Street Baptist Church. Now you might say, well, I don't think you should blame it all on that. What about your position on this and that and everything? Yeah, okay, all right, I hear you. Here's something even worse. When a first-time visitor comes in and says, where's Gary Freeman? He invited me to church. Well, he doesn't usually come on Sunday night. Very seldom does he ever show up in prayer meeting. Oh, really? And then, if they do start coming on a regular basis, it's always interesting to see how they fall in line with the one who's been their example. And then they only show up on Sunday morning like as if Sunday morning's all you need. You know what? If Sunday morning's all you need, there's a lot of churches out there. Okay? They got it. They got the Sunday morning. Go there. This church, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Why? Because you don't have anything else to do? You want to just work the Christians to death? No. You need to be trained, taught the Word of God. You need to fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ and with each other. Well, it doesn't matter if I don't come. It does so matter if you don't come. What about the other brother or sister sitting there and you're not there? You need their fellowship and they need your fellowship. And that's what it's saying right here in the Bible. You say, oh boy, he's on his favorite thing to talk about. No. Look at what it says there. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together. Edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. He says, I also, Thessalonians, and I'll say here, Ray Street Baptist Church, this might sound self-serving because I'm the pastor, the elder of the church, but you take it however you want it. The elder of your church, you need to have respect toward him. You need to realize he's given his whole life to minister to your needs. Doesn't make him anything better. He's still the same as you are, saved the same way, same amount of blood of Christ to save him as it's to save you. But God's called him to admonish you and teach you. And you need to know that and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. For their work's sake. Not because how handsome he is. We lose out totally on that. But because of his work's sake. And anyone else who teaches you and trains you, You need to thank God for them. Pray for them. And to a certain extent, be loyal to them. And I hope you grab a hold of what I'm saying. I'm not looking for worshiping of man. None of that. But loyal to the work of the Lord, which includes, you know, the person who God's put there to train you and teach you. Verse 14. We exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. Wow. Can't we be that way? You all need to be that way. Don't be islands unto yourself, okay? Don't just be little islands unto yourself, little silos. You're in a family of God. And you need to love each other, care for each other, as well as all men, it says. Don't render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Small verse. Rejoice evermore. I've liked Ray Street Baptist Church for this one good thing. We seem to like to sing. We like to sing. And none of us are really, accomplished singers, but boy, when we all get together, we can accomplish something. That sounds pretty good. And I enjoy the singing together. I hope you do too. Pray without ceasing. Now there it is. Do it. Just do it. Well, just do it. Praying without ceasing. Do you have to be on your knees at your bed with your hands folded in order to pray? No. How about, can you actually be praying while you're at work in the middle of a laborious thing you're doing? Even while you're shifting or whatever, you know, or typing or doing an email or something like that. Can you in your mind be, Lord, help so-and-so, they're not feeling so good today. Help me. I'm not doing so good today. Spiritually, whatever. Can you be praying without ceasing? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Anywhere, everywhere. Talk to God. He's listening. And you have not because you ask not. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. The Spirit's working in your heart. Maybe even right now, He's speaking to you about something going on in your life. Maybe something that you've heard preached or whatever. And you say, no, no, no. You're quenching the Spirit. Don't do that. I'm glad for one thing. The Spirit of God keeps on working. It doesn't stop. But we can quench Him. Despise not prophesying. Now back in those days, before the rest of the New Testament was finished, they had those who prophesied. And they were to listen to them. Paul prophesied while he was there in their midst and preaching. That was prophesying. We do it today the same way, but of course we better be confining our prophesying to what we find in the Word of God. Basically just saying forth what's already in the Bible. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Prove all things. You know, put it to a test. Don't fall for everything. Prove all things. Abstain from all appearance of evil. That, you know, it's just like that guy, Frank Garlock gave that illustration about the guy looking for somebody to be a taxi driver for him. How close can you get to the edge of the cliff? I guess the first two thought they would impress them by, you know, how good they are. They can get pretty close. The third guy says, I stay away from there as far as I can. You're hired. You're the one I want. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body. How about that? Spirit, soul, body this morning. Melody, harmony, rhythm. Right? Melody, harmony, rhythm. Be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll stop right there. But church, here we are, 39 years. Let us determine in our heart, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. Church means a lot. Church services mean, what else is there to do? Some of you say, well, I don't know. I don't seem to be doing anything. Oh, well, how about getting out to church on a regular basis? How about starting right there? Well, don't be coming to me and saying, preacher, I want to go out door to door with you, and you don't show up on Sunday night and Wednesday night. Yeah, here we are. There we are, Pastor Freeman. This is my buddy. We're from the Ray Street Baptist Church. Like to see you in church. Here's the invitation to come. And we walk away, go to the next house, next house, next house. On Sunday morning, the guy shows up. Hey, Pastor Freeman, where's that guy that was with you at our house? Well, you know what I'm going to say. He don't show up. Boy, he wants to be out there door knocking, you know. Come on, let's get with it. Let's serve the Lord and get to church. Every time those church doors open, you ought to be going through them, unless you got a good reason for not going through them. And there are some good reasons. Okay, I acknowledge that. There are some good reasons. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, may not be just the right hour or, time for you. I can understand that. But 52 times in a year, there's never once that a Wednesday night opens up for you. Or a Sunday night opens up. Well, we family on Sunday night. 52 weeks a year? Every single one of them's occupied? Special meetings. Well, we're having Monday night, Tuesday, and Wednesday night meetings. I got evangelists here. Ooh! Well, you wouldn't believe, Pastor, what came up. No, I will believe what came up. Believe me, I've heard them all for 39 years. You know what? Get to church. Some of you don't like it when I talk like this. You need to respond. You need to give a reason to yourself and to the Lord, not to me. To yourself and to the Lord. Churches need people that are loyal to it, faithful to it. Think about these things. Think on these things. And probably Wednesday night will be our most well-attended prayer meeting. I know it's tough Wednesday nights. I know they're tough. But you know what? Hey, come on. You don't have to be at every one of them. Be at some of them, you'd be a blessing. And what are all the come on, throw them out the window and start serving the Lord. Start serving the Lord. And see what God will do for the next maybe 39 years. Oh, don't you think the rapture's coming? Yeah, I do. But you know what? Could be 39 years. Because you know what? 39 years ago, I expected the Lord to come back at any time. I was preaching it then. I just started the church and we were preaching it already. Dave Calkin knows we were preaching the rapture on day one. We're still preaching it. But it could be another 39 years. What are you going to do with that time? Let's serve the Lord. Some of you won't be here 39 years from now, will you? How about that? If I said 39 years, some of you won't be here. You're going to be up in glory. You'll be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Before 39, next 39 years is up. I'll still be here. No, I guess not, right? 40 years on to 60, that makes you 100. Ooh, I don't think I'll be here. And many of you won't be here. What will you do between now and then? Let's serve the Lord. Let's serve the Lord. Okay, that's all I got to say there, and we're going to go eat now. I hope it's all ready to go. I'm smelling it. It's smelling good. And, hey, everybody, come on, help us eat it. You know why? I know there's a lot of food down there. More than we all could eat if we all had 3 plates. So don't say, well, we didn't bring anything. No, come on down and help us eat it, okay? Otherwise, we're going to take it home. So let's have a good time. You know what? Let's just thank the Lord for the food right here, right now. And then make your way down there. Ladies down there, I hope you're hearing me. We're going to thank the Lord for the food, and we're going to then come right on down and eat. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for these people. Thank you for what you've done for us over these many years. And Who knows what the future holds for a church like our own if we all just say, I'm going to become a very vital part of it. I'm going to get busy and serve the Lord. Help us all to do that. Every one of us can do more. Pray more. Fellowship more. Sing better. We can all do it. Help us to determine to do it. Bless the food. Bless it to our body and our fellowship together. Thank you that we can even do this. So give us a good time fellowship and a good time of singing later. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.